Welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, I am thrilled to have on the phone Martha McPhee, an illustrious novelist, and we are going to be talking about her most recent book, Dear Money, and also about the writer's plight in general. And I am also going to ask Martha for a suggestion or two for great summer reads, or I should say inspiring summer reads. And then at the end, I'll be providing some other suggestions for summer reads. So this is really about summer reading. So tune in and stay to the end of the program. I would like to say I'm really thrilled to have Martha on the line from New York. She's a National Book Award finalist. And I would just like to say hello. Then I'm going to say how I'm connected with Martha. Hi, Martha. Welcome to Travel Fun.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you, Mary Beth.
So, you know, people who listen to my show, they know that I have a variety of ways of kind of drawing in my guests, and often there's a personal connection. And I met you in March when you're out here in Telluride skiing with your family, and had a delightful time skiing with you and particularly your son Jasper, and you were here with another family. And I feel as though I've really gotten to know you, though, since then, by reading your recent book, Dear Money.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. And I have to add, we had the biggest snowfall that you had all year or something like that. It was fantastic. 24 inches in 24 hours.
I know you're lucky enough to, well, actually, I was going to say hit Telluride right, but there's usually, the odds are usually pretty good of hitting Telluride skiing. And I discovered when you're here, you're a great skier, but you're an even more inspiring writer. And I just want to say that I think I was a little shy about talking about writing with you. I was in my winter mode where I was kind of just putting writing on the back burner and focusing on being physical, being outdoors. And I don't think I even Googled you during the stay, which is odd, but I had heard that you were a novelist, and we didn't talk too much about it, but there is something I remember very well when I asked you how, why you became a writer.
What did I say?
You don't remember what you said?
Oh, no, I'm not sure. Because tell me.
Well, you really said it's something that you have to do.
Right. Well, that's right. I mean, there are other stories. I mean, for example, I really did want to be a cook. But I went down that road a little bit. And I remember my father had suggested that he's also a writer, he's a nonfiction writer, that he learned from a friend that if somebody really wants to be a cook, they should get speed down and go to a work in a short order restaurant. And I remember going for an interview in a hamburger joint, and I just thought, there's no way I can do this. I was too afraid of the writing, really. But going to the short order restaurant liberated me and made me think, okay, writing isn't quite as scary, and it will definitely be the hardest thing I ever ask myself to do. And I wanted that challenge. That said, you know, I wouldn't have stayed with it if it weren't this need inside of me that has to come out, and it's my way of understanding being alive and being in the world.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk more about the writer's journey in a little bit. Let's first jump in and talk about Dear Money, which was just published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And it's a Pygmalion tale of a struggling but critically acclaimed writer who did the unthinkable. She left her world of creativity and fine art to become a high-earning banker. Now, the first part of that sounds sort of like you. I don't know about the struggling part, but critically acclaimed writer. Where did you find the idea for this story?
Well, she becomes, you said Pygmalion-like. She is transformed into a bond trader of mortgage-backed securities at the height of the housing market by a Wall Street tycoon, by a guy who is a manager of traders at a glittering Wall Street firm. And he meets her by chance on a beach in Maine, and she shows interest in what he's in his profession because she's sort of curious about why he's so wealthy, which is apparent in just the bravado that he oozes. And after a conversation, he says, if you give me 18 months, I'll turn you into a trader. And it takes her a while to take him up on this offer, but she's had it with writing by the end of the first half and the publication of her fifth novel. And he reappears in her life. And it's only a few months since she's met him, and she says, "Okay, I'm gonna do it." I got the idea because I actually did meet a bond trader at a garden party. He arrived in a town car that idled for him while he enjoyed the party, and I, like my character, was very curious about, you know, what do these guys do that make them so much money? For me, banker was just a banker. There was no degree of banker, no tiers or levels. They all made money. And when he started talking about mortgage-backed securities, I became very interested because what kept coming, the American dream, home ownership, and I started seeing metaphors. He talked about pools of mortgages and being chopped up and shipped off and sent around the world. And I was curious. And he said to me at one point, you know, there's nothing special about what we do. We're just used car salesmen. You give me 18 months, I'll turn you into a trader. Anyone can do it. And that's where the seed for this was born. It was 2004, and I started paying attention in the newspaper to the mortgage-backed securities market and took him up on an offer to help me learn about this.
I think we have to say who the she is. That's India Palmer.
Yes, India Palmer, the narrator, first-person narrator.
And your character development is extraordinary, and the transformation that India goes through. And what I also liked, and I'm particularly sensitive to this being a travel writer, is your use of sense of place. And everything from the story beginning in Maine and how you describe life in Maine to New York City, the restaurants, the stores, the trading floor, and the life there. Let's talk a little bit about that trading floor life, because you certainly wrote about it as though you knew it well.
Well, as I like to say, I read in Stephen King, or somehow knew that Stephen King said, you need to know enough to make it look like you know what you're talking about. And I love that. I did a lot of research. I went down to a trading floor. I had somebody who was a trader, who wasn't the initial trader, help me enormously, tell me stories about the trading floor. And I observe pretty quickly, and it goes in. And I know that what brings writing to life, what I enjoy when I read, are the details that set the scene. So I observed what they were. What did they have on their desks? What did they look like? What were they wearing? What were the tics that made it real, the nervous gestures, the little rituals that they took with them to the trading floor to make them real. And I asked my trader for the help, in those details, but I also looked at it and saw what they, hot. Why is a bottle of really hot chili sauce on somebody's desk? And I asked, it's there to make me race. They want things on their desk that are going to inspire them. And so I had fun with that level of detail, because it's there that character is revealed.
And sense of place, talking about New York, of course, you live in New York, so you have a good handle on that, the restaurants, the stores. What about your connection to Maine? Because Maine is almost like a character in the book.
Yeah, for me. I love Maine. I go to Maine every summer. I think one of the fun, wonderful things about writing is you do get to live out certain fantasies, and I, for a long time, have had a fantasy of owning this shack we go to in Maine, and at the height of the market, they wanted $1 million for it, and it's not something that is even likely to still be there, even though it's been there for 150 years, something you can use 4 months of the year. I don't have $1 million, et cetera, et cetera. But I got to have fun with it in the novel. And again, it just goes down to that level of description. Maine is a place I know intimately. The trading floor, I didn't, but it's the same principle, detail, 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 which, you know, as it happens, my mother drilled into me as a little girl when I was trying to write essays and assignments for school. Detail. Remember the details.
You must take copious notes.
You know what? I really don't. It's a funny thing. I couldn't even remember the name of that person when we were talking before. But you put me in a situation where I'm studying something and my brain is like a tape recorder. And it's always shocking to me. In fact, one of the people that was, one of the bond traders that helped me had told me a story about a big rate trade, and I took little notes, a few key phrases. But then I went home and wrote the scene, and when I showed it to this person, she said, it's just too identical to what happened. You can't use it like that. And I was shocked because I hadn't really written notes down. So I guess that's a little bit of a gift that I do have, or a liability if you're on the other end of it.
Well, even in the book, Dear Money, which is actually sort of a book within a book, and you describe India Palmer, the central character, and the narrator, who goes from struggling, cash-trapped artist, writer, to this wildly successful mover and shaker. I don't want to give too much of the story away, but you refer to her as the observer.
Right. She feels like a spy on the wall for a good part of it until she's fully consumed. And, her husband, who's also an artist, does not believe this is a long-term proposition. And I'm definitely playing around with that. As you say, a novel within a novel. Is this a story that she has written after the fact, or is she still a successful trader in Wall Street? But I was certainly playing around.
Okay, so you describe the writer's plight so vividly. In fact, that's when I felt like I really got to know you, Martha, you as a writer, and so much of what you wrote about the writer's plight. I felt like, oh my God, that's how I feel, and all the insecurities that go with being a writer, even a published writer, although you certainly are a highly acclaimed writer. Did you feel, was that a challenge to kind of give so much away about that life? Because obviously there must be some parallels between India Palmer's life and your life as a writer.
Certainly, and it was a lot easier to write that section than it was the bond trading section. But I am India Palmer in as much as I am any of the characters. I'm everybody in the book, and I'm nobody in the book. But yes, there are details that are certainly the same. I did feel when I was writing that I was revealing a lot, and I felt sort of embarrassed for myself a little bit. But I'm just a very honest person, and even though I had some hesitation, as I just said, as long as I'm not, you know, complaining or whining or, you know, being mean to somebody else, if I feel like it's something true that I've experienced, I actually don't really mind writing about it. I sort of love to write about it. As I said about at the beginning of the interview, it's my way of processing the world and my way of understanding what I am experiencing. And it's interpretation for me, really. And so, in the end, it was fun. That's what it had to be. And when I started off on this book, that was my primary goal, was that I have fun. And I did.
Oh, it's a fun read. And great insight into a writer's life, phenomenal insight into the financial world and in New York and the world in general. When you write about the writer's life, and of course, that's what interests me so much, you reveal a certain rivalry amongst some of your characters between writers. Right. Do you think that's often the case?
Oh, certainly. Of course. It probably is, in, you know, to some degree in all industry, but writing is the one I happen to know the best. There is a lot of you know, unspoken rivalry, spoken rivalry. Certainly you can, you know, read about famous examples, which none of which are coming to mind, but there, you know, dozens of, you know, historic examples of writers' competition. But there are also incredibly generous people out there. And this is, what I was having fun with in the book is the sense of competition, that something that's given to one person, the other person feels is being taken away from them, which is, of course, not the way it is. But I just want to say I have had many, many wonderful writers and people in publishing support me tremendously. So it wasn't, you know, the only view of what I observe.
Any advice for me as a published author or any other published writers or
yes.
aspiring writers?
Well, as my father has always said to me from the very beginning, no one can take your story. Your story is unique to you. Even, I have four sisters, even if every single one of those sisters sat down and wrote a novel about our childhood, which I actually did with my first novel, Bright Angel Time, they would never write the same story. And I think that's very important to remember. It's only you, and all the other stuff is just clutter. It's just stuff that allows you to procrastinate, that stops you from doing the very, very hard work at hand, which is writing and making things real on a page. You know, it's those details we were speaking about earlier that make the world real. And it's hard work to find the right ones, to build up the scene, create it, make it alive with characters who are psychologically complex and say the right things and behave in believable yet surprising ways that aren't pat or cliched. It's very, very hard. And all this other stuff, all this competition and who's getting reviewed where and why is that review better than my review, or why did that person get a bigger advance or win that award? It's all clutter that keeps you away from that very basic need that I think is universal to artists.
Okay. I am visiting with Martha McKee. McPhee. And in fact, you mentioned your dad. We have to say your dad is John McPhee, a renowned nonfiction writer. And you are also, your husband is Mark Svenvold.
Svenvold.
He's a poet. So you really live in the literary world. I just have to say, you mentioned Telluride in passing in this new novel, Dear Money. Any plans for maybe putting little bit more of a spotlight on Telluride or other Rocky Mountain towns and
upcoming
projects?
Oh, my goodness, I would love to write about Telluride. And it's my favorite spot. It is so beautiful. I forgot that I mentioned Telluride in Dear Money, did I?
Yes. Yes. Oh, it jumped right out of the page.
I've always wanted to go.
You mentioned, I think you might have mentioned Aspen as well, of course. The hoity-toity set of New York, they were coming to vacation on a ski vacation.
Yeah, the Bond Traders have a little...
Bond Traders were coming to Telluride, of course. Thank you for that. And I have to say, your website is lots of fun, Martha McPhee. Oh. com, and McPhee is McPhee. It's not surprising to learn that you are a wonderful cook because you have some very alluring recipes up there. I haven't tried any yet, but
the focaccia is very easy to make and delicious.
So that's MarthaMcPhee.com. The book is Dear Money. Great summer read. Do you find that you read more in the summer, Martha?
Absolutely, because we go to that house in Maine that you were referring to, and I sit on the beach for 3 weeks, and all I do is read. I love to do that.
I think, reading in the summer is really one of the most relaxing things you can do. Would you have one suggestion we could walk away with in terms of what you think is an inspiring summer read?
Well, I recently have read, so alas, won't be reading this summer, but it would be wonderful for others to read, is Dani Shapiro's Devotion. It's a memoir. She is a fantastic writer, and it's about, in a sense, seeking to understand what her relationship is to spirituality. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story that I think will resonate for just about anybody who thinks about what it is to be alive and to be connected to something larger.
Okay, that's Devotion, a memoir by Dani Shapiro. And I have been visiting with novelist Martha McPhee. A website is MarthaMcPhee.com. Her most recent book is Dear Money, Pick It Up. It's a great read. Martha, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed my novel. Thank you.
I look forward to reading other books of yours. And so have a terrific summer. If you have any more reading recommendations, forward them on to us and enjoy that house in Maine.
I will. Thank you. And I hope to see you next March in Telluride.
See you again soon in Telluride. Thank you so much. Thanks for being a guest on Travel Fun.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And welcome back to Travel Fun. I want to thank Martha McPhee again for being a guest on Travel Fun. And I'd also like to provide a few more recommendations for inspiring summer reads. These come from Between the Covers Bookstore, our wonderful independent bookseller here in Telluride, Colorado. And I encourage you to support your independent booksellers all over the country. They're just great places to go and pick out books, and they often have staff picks, and you can actually talk with the staff and hear what they recommend. And I did just that. I talked with Bobby T. Smith, and she's an avid reader. She works at Between the Covers. She's also a fellow Kodo DJ, and she gave me some great recommendations, which are as follows. And the first one is The Passage. And it's reminiscent of Stephen King's The Stand. And it actually culminates in Telluride. This is The Passage by Justin Cronin. Toward the end of the book, you can tell the characters are in Durango, Cortez, a lot of local references. And this was an Oprah pick as well. I actually have to mention, too, that Dear Money was featured in O Magazine. Another recommendation from Between the Covers is The Lonely Polygamist by Brady Udall, and that's from the Udall clan, you know, of the Four Corners politician fame, and it's a comedic tragedy. Interesting look at the world of a Mormon polygamist. And what else did Bobby recommend? Of course, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series by Stieg Larsson. All of his fame was achieved in terms of writing novels after he died. I think many people know about that, and he certainly has left a legacy of work. The other recommendation is Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese, and that takes place in Ethiopia in a medical compound. It's the story of love, betrayal, and medicine. And according to Bobby, it is richly written and wonderful history and landscape. That's Cutting for Stone. And in terms of a nonfiction recommendation, that would be Born to Run. And apparently that's totally changing the way people are looking about running. And it's about how people run for miles and miles without shoes. This is in the Copper Canyon in Mexico. And the title is actually Born to Run, A Hidden Tribe, Super Athletes, and the Greatest Race the World Has Ever Seen by Christopher McDougall. And there, too, there's a lot of history, anthropology, running science. So if you're a runner, that's a must for you. Anyway, those are the recommendations from our local bookstore in Telluride, Between the Covers. Thank you very much, Bobby T. Smith. And I want to wish all of you a terrific summer of reading. You can do some reading about stories on travel, beauty, fashion, and more at my blog, and that's bonjourcolorado.com. And I will be posting a story about Martha McPhee along with a podcast of the interview. So check that out, bonjourcolorado.com. I have a lot of other podcasts as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue. Fly with me, float down to Peru.
in Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.